Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
You know, in 2009, Shans and I bought a home, and we built a home actually, and we thought it was a great idea, and we lived in it for less than 3 years, and then we moved, and we came actually to church here. That home in the last 10 years or so, we've probably, you know, lost over $100,000 or close to $100,000 in that house. And it's been a real burden and a stress to us. At the beginning, it was a real burden and a stress to us. And we just thought, have we failed? Have we got it wrong? Have we made a mistake? And we just made a decision partway through this journey. There's nothing we can do except trust that God is our provider. God is faithful. And every time we talk about this thing, we're going to joke about it. We're going to laugh about it. We're going to be public with our story because one day this is going to be a testimony. I'm excited to tell you, even though that house lost so much value, at one point I think it lost like $60,000 to $70,000 in value. In the last week, we've sold our house. We've got a price for it that we not only get money, we only make back what we owe the bank, but we get a couple extra bucks in our pocket because of it. And at the end of it, God is so faithful and so good. And what I've realized during this journey is that while we're really excited because God's come through, our demeanor hasn't changed now that we sold the house. Well, people are like, you must be excited. And I'm like, yeah, I am. But the truth was, I decided years ago that I was excited about the miracle that was going to come. So when the miracle came, it's sort of like, yeah, of course God did. What I want to help you realize tonight is whether you are in the beginning of your journey, the middle of your journey, or whether you are standing in breakthrough, you can have a demeanor of joy, of faith, and hope because God is faithful, consistent, and good no matter where you find yourself. And the good news is when God does come through, you realize He always did come through because you are an overcomer. The definition of overcoming, Pastor Alice gave us last week, was to prevail in spite of adversity. Not to prevail after adversity, to prevail in spite of adversity. Today, we want to show you some stories and have talked to some great people who have prevailed in spite of adversity. Over to you, Jane.
Thank you and hello. I'd like to introduce you first up to Beauty and Daniel Nolan, a beautiful couple in our church. So thank you for being brave tonight. I've had the privilege of sitting with both the couples that we're going to chat with tonight for an hour or so each, so we're going to condense this into 5 minutes. There's just so much to the story, so we're just going to pull out some of the good stuff tonight. I really feel that, as was said earlier, a lot of people are going to feel encouraged in faith tonight, and this is the journey that these two have been on, and when you hear their story, you'll understand why. In a year of COVID, not only did you two both get jobs, you got unusual tax returns, unexpected money coming in, but this is not a story of just a moment, it's over a long time, and we're going to go back almost a decade to when this began. So I cannot wait for you to hear their perseverance in prayer and how God has come through, not overnight, but in pretty much a decade. Now, we're going to start with you this evening, Beauty, because really you were inspired by a friend who you met in this church, and she moved to Canberra, but that did not stop you praying. So tell us how that looked a few years ago.
So I had this friend we met here in 2002, and about 7 years ago, she moved to Canberra. And we've been in contact, and we chat, you know, once in a while. But in November last year, we were talking about her going for an interview. And she said, you know, I feel this is my job. I feel this is my job. And she made I called it the most ridiculous request. She said, you know what, God, I want this job. I want them, when I go for this interview, I want them to offer me the job on the spot. And I thought, that's impossible. They have to check your referees, and they have to... It was a job in Parliament. I mean, it's not going to happen. She rings me an hour and a half after her interview and says, I got the job, I signed the papers. And I said, how? And she said, I finished the interview. I was walking out, and the lady was chairing it ran after me and said, I can't let you go. I feel I shouldn't let you go. I really need to give you this job. So she got the job.
Yeah. So pretty much she's telling her friend's story because she's like, hang on, God. Daniel and I have been praying for our jobs for years. what about me? So your friend, pretty much seeing a miracle of God, says, you know what? I believe God's going to do a new thing in your life. And there's a scripture that talks about that. In fact, the church talked about it a lot last year. And that's what happened in your life, both of you. God started to do a new thing. You kept praying. You kept fasting, because every Monday from Canberra, you would pray and fast together. Yeah. And things started to unroll. So, Daniel, what a good wife you have, a praying wife. You know, it says in Proverbs, if you find a good wife, you find a good thing.
Absolutely.
And you know what else? That God's favor comes upon you. So that's a pretty good deal. Pretty good deal. Find a wife, guys, and you get God's favor. But we're going to go right back almost a decade for you. So you were working in a job at a hardware store, and it was, you know, same old, get up, go to work, do this, do that. But you wanted to change. You wanted to get off that wheel of life. So what you did was you decided to study for a graphic design degree. Now, you finished that in 2014. So 2014 we're in now. So you start praying for a job. Yep. 2014. Now, you got that job in December 2020.
2020.
You're a very patient prayer. So tell us what it was like in that journey, believing, seeing things happen in your wife and your friends, but hey, God, what about me? I think there's a song about that, but I won't sing it.
Yeah. Well, so going back to 2014, we were going through a season at church, and we were praying as a church and listing things on little cards. What we're praying for, I think we've actually
which
got
he's actually given
one
me
here
tonight. Can you believe that he kept this on his fridge and he said, by the way, can I just read it quickly since you've taken it? So three things I'm having faith for. This is from 2014. One was health in my family. Did that happen? Yeah, excellent. Number two, my six-month-old son to sleep at night time. Oh, good, excellent. That's a few years ago.
Yep, he's
and
now seven.
And then the top one, God, I would like a new job in graphic design. Yep. 2014.
Yep. Yep.
What happened?
Well, I'd been praying and working at the hardware store, and I'd finished and sort of gone into full-time after uni, and it wasn't an area that I'd wanted to be in for a long period of time, but I guess God had some other plans. And so I continued to work at the hardware store, but I felt led to start my own business for after hours and on weekends. And in that, I got a particular client, which is a non-profit organization, that ended up being a client throughout that whole time. And it was tough because I was doing full-time, you know, like 40 hours a week at the hardware store, and then putting in, you know, 10 to 15 hours or more some weeks, and I was just getting exhausted. But I kept praying and kept just doing what I felt I should do, and other jobs would come up, and I'd apply for things that I thought would be a good fit, but I guess God didn't want me there because all the formal applications that I put in, I'd never actually got an interview for. But I continued persisting. And then we got to 2020 and we all had a wonderful year. But for us, it kind of continued the same, except for socially, you know, with church and things, it was very non-active, I guess. But online was great. That sort of helped get us through. But work continued on, and we saw God continue to provide all our needs.
Including some tax returns, which you still can't even work out. Tell us a little bit about it. You normally pay tax, is that right?
Normally I'd get to the end of the year, and because of the business side of things, I wasn't paying as I went, so a lot of the time I might have to pay some at the end of the year, and so we might get back sort of little returns occasionally, but nothing, you know, it might be a couple of hundred or something like that, but yeah, it'd as far as tax returns, we thought, okay, you know, we might get a little bit back this year. It'd be nice we could put it towards a house deposit.
Because that's actually been a dream. I didn't mention that, but you've been wanting, part of you wanting to change jobs is to be more financially secure so you can get a house, and you need a certain amount, which, in fact, they did give up a little bit mid this prayer life, because they said, look, we just actually thought God's not answering this prayer, so let's use the money and go to Europe, which you did. So I actually took a side swing to Europe and used all that money, so they really depleted that. But hey, glad you went to Europe, because that's not happening for a couple of years. So now we're working on the house. So God just provided through tax returns. There were other payments that come in that we won't go into detail with. But I think, too, one of the things you said as we talked during the week is that God seemed to take a long time to answer the prayer, but in the end, he not only found you a job where you actually could be a graphic designer, but it was also in a Christian organisation. So it felt like that double, wow, God, thank you for, you know, the thing I want to do, but I can also help it to grow your kingdom. How amazing.
Absolutely. And I guess the thing was, I knew that it was God for a number of reasons, but as I was a little hesitant, actually, to be honest, to apply for the job when I saw it come up. And I thought, I knew the CEO from some previous work that I'd been doing. And so I thought, Beauty actually encouraged me.
I was going to say, this is where Beauty steps in again, because he wasn't going to apply for this job, was he? Yeah. No, so this is your wife said, come on.
I was seriously doubting, just because, you know, there were some things that I could do, but it wasn't something I had a lot of experience in, so.
Yeah, so you've got a new job, and we're going to wrap it up, otherwise we'll be here all night, because God has been good to you, in summary, and it's really been a journey of faith and prayer together. But just to finish off, Beauty, what have you learned, or what have you found out about God during the process over the last 10 years?
So, God does not forget a dream. If he has given you one, it may take long, but he doesn't forget. And we realized in this season that even though we waited for this long, our miracle happened within 2 weeks.
Wow.
Within 2 weeks, I mean, we got all this money that was coming from different sources, like people just giving us money. And he got a promotion for a job that he hadn't even started.
Oh, wow. You got promoted before you started?
Before he started.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a good deal.
They actually looked at my experience and said,
amazing,
look, we want to offer you more because we see the value in what you've done.
So good. Well, look, thank you. You've just heard a little bit of the story tonight, and we're believing that God is going to come through for that house this year for you as well, and that's going to just be another testimony of God's goodness in both of your lives. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome. Come on, let's give it up for Dan and Beauty. Isn't that unbelievable? See, what I love about these two is how they postured themselves in the length of waiting. Today I want to talk to you about two different men in the Bible that were close to breakthrough, but not in breakthrough, and how they postured themselves very differently. The first is found in John 5. It says, sometime later, Jesus went to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool in which Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by whatever, right? Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. And from time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir the waters. The first one into the pool after each disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had. And one who was there had been invalid for 38 years. There was a test of time. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, read it with me, do you want to get well? That word well there is the word whole. Jesus asked him, do you want to get whole? What I love about these two is that while they're waiting on the provision of God, they weren't letting themselves be spiritually, relationally, emotionally affected. Is that because they had found wholeness in Jesus. Some people just want to get better, but Jesus wants to make you whole. Too many people want to have comfort, but don't want to be changed. Too many people want to be healed, but they don't want to be whole. And you have a God that can heal you, provide for you, and supply for you. But more than that, he wants to make you whole. And the truth is, some things in life don't just change. And in the meantime, we lose our faith while we're sitting and waiting. And from time to time, an angel would come and change things. But the problem was, if that guy didn't get his miracle,
he wasn't good. And the problem with too many people in life is that when we don't have an angel, a person, or a breakthrough come through, we're not good. But God's plan was that you would be good in all circumstances. Just because this guy never got his miracle, when you read about his demeanor, while Jesus was good, this guy wasn't good. God's plan tonight is that you would realize you can be good in the waiting or in the afterflow of the miracle. See, Jesus asked, "Do you want to be made whole?" And the man said, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." If I can, whoa, hello. All good? Mice in the microphone. So, can I say something about this guy? In his eyes, he was a born loser. He was losing before he had a chance to be a winner. And because he had a disability, because he was unable to get to the water, his life was spent looking at his problem, everyone else not helping him, and where the solution was. One way or the other, he knew he wasn't good enough, and he was therefore blaming God, blaming his legs, blaming everyone else, and blaming where the water was. Now, Jesus comes through. Jesus says, pick up your mat and walk. And at once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and walked. Jesus comes through. Today you need to know the last can be first, the weak can be strong, the sick can be healed, Jesus can make a way. However, the problem with this man, because he never lived in victory before the victory, because he saw himself as having a problem more than he saw the one who was standing with him, because he thought of himself as a loser before he ever knew he was a victor, when they then go to him and ask him who healed him, it says this as we go on to verse 12. They ask this fellow, "Who told you to pick up the man and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was. The problem with this guy wasn't that he didn't have the ability to walk, is that he never had a clue who was standing right beside him at that moment. He never knew who his healer was. He wanted the healing. He never knew who the one that could make him whole was. All he wanted was to feel better. Can I tell you, there's one thing to be healed and another thing to be whole. There's another thing to be comfort and there's another thing to be cleansed. I want to tell you, the problem with this guy was not that he had a disability or he had a lack or he had a need or he had a sickness. The problem was his posture in the middle of waiting. He was blaming everyone else. He was blaming his circumstances. He was blaming where the water was and wasn't, and he never realized who was standing alongside him the whole time. His healer, his savior, his answer was there. But in the word, there is another man in a very similar, or if not worse, circumstance. And I'll talk to you about for in a moment. But first, again, over to Jane.
Well, hello again, Alicia and VTech. Welcome. Now, look, I just want to say you may not know these faces, but you may have prayed for them last year. This beautiful couple headed off to Melbourne in the middle of COVID, and Alicia had 3 surgeries. Alicia was born with a congenital heart condition when she was born. So this is actually not a new thing for her to go to surgeries. In fact, she's had 9 surgeries, 3 last year, 6 and 1 as quite a small baby. But it was certainly different this time a lot because of your faith and having a faith family around you. Now, just so we can get people onto the page, we've got some photos. Now, we did actually take out some of the gory ones. So let's look to the screen. And this is just, what month was this, Alicia? This was late last year, I think. October. Look at her, fit and healthy here. And honestly, it is amazing. And there's, I'll look at your husband helping you. What's he doing there, actually? Putting stockings on.
They're,
what are you doing?
Compression stockings.
Okay.
So they...
That's a day after the surgery.
Oh, wow.
That one there is just before I was about to have the 3rd surgery, just before I was wheeled in. Yep.
You look pretty happy. Yeah. You're just going into open heart surgery, like selfie time. Wow.
Just had 2 going in for another. Woo.
Wow.
That's us just relaxing in hospital because, you know, we're good.
Wow, look at and all those stitches in the scar. I mean, open heart surgery, wow. And your beautiful mum there too, obviously supporting you through. And this for her has been a journey all your life. How old were you when you had the first operation?
A day old.
One day?
One day. I was born in New South Wales, a small rural town, and I was born. And back then, 39 years ago, they didn't do ultrasounds on pregnant women to see their heart. So when I was born, my mum was 22, I slowly started turning blue, and that's when they realised, oh, something's not right.
Wow.
So a team were helicoptered from the Sydney Children's Hospital, and I was sent away pretty much. Mum was told to name me, say goodbyes, baptise me, and she was left in hospital, and I had my first surgery the next day.
Yes, yeah, so we're going to hear a little bit about how she's been impacted through your faith over this latter part of the journey. But there's about six specialists in your area that know how what's wrong with your body, and you've met pretty much half of them. Half of them said they weren't going to do this operation because it was too risky.
Yes, so there's six congenital heart specialists within Australia, and so there's one here in Adelaide, two in Sydney, two in Melbourne. I don't know where the other one is. But we met all of them. We met a lot of them. Then they sort of make a case study. They send it to two surgeons. So it was like, I was like, am I going to have the surgery in Melbourne or Sydney? Thinking I would have the choice. But it was the surgeon choosing to take
case.
Up. Yeah. And they both said no.
Wow.
We're not going to, it's too high risk.
How does that make you feel when the doctors say they don't want to do the operation?
I don't think I found that out until later. So that was...
Okay, that's good. That's good. So this was a different experience for you, you were telling me during the week, because you've been in hospitals, out of hospitals, you've been up and down corridors. We prayed for you at church and you went off to Melbourne. In a different state of mind, you said, than normal. I want you to tell us about even that lead up and also that day of the surgery, being wheeled down to surgery.
Okay. So my last surgery before this one was at 18. So prior to that, the last five surgeries I had no recollection of because I was so young. I think I was four after my last ones. So, yeah. So I don't remember them. But at 18, it was my choice, apparently. The choice was, here's the paperwork, you just need to sign here. and I wasn't aware of what was going on at that age. But this time, knowing all of what could possibly go wrong.
That plays on your mind. And of course, VTech, you met in, I think, about 2014. So this was your first experience of seeing your wife go through surgery. And apparently she showed her this scar on your first date. So you knew what you were in for when you started going out, that she had this condition.
Yeah, that's right.
How hard was it to actually see her on that table being wheeled down that corridor?
Well, look, I mean, as a typical male, and to make it worse, a European male, because apparently we're more hardy, it was devastating because as a man, you want to help. You want to fix problems. And this is something that you can't fix. You know, like you're completely helpless. You have no input. You know, I did none of the surgery at all whatsoever. You know, it was devastating. You know, just to watch your loved one be in that position, and you essentially have nothing you can do about it. So, yeah, it was.
You knew the church was praying for you, though. So did that give you a sense of peace?
Absolutely.
Look,
that was the pivotal part of us getting through this whole experience in a peaceful manner. And what I'd like to say is, like, you know, deep down, getting emotional. I'd like to thank all you guys, because don't dismiss the power of prayer. Because, you know, being in that situation, when you're happy and when you're in worship and you experience God, it's fantastic. But when you're in the darkest moment and you experience God, it's amazing. You know, and we realized that it was all of you guys and all of our friends and all of Alicia's friends, family, they were there praying for us. And we're like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
in fact, Alicia,
it's amazing.
When we were talking this week, you said we often talk about the supernatural peace of God. Explain that.
So the day of the surgery was my worst nightmare. It is what my worst nightmare is made of bright lights and corridors and getting wheeled down. So they were like, oh, you know, your mum and VTech can go. And I was like, oh, that's new. That's okay. And I was fine to say goodbye to them, but they were coming. So I was like, great, yeah, come, yeah, sure. And we're sitting there in the pre-admission to the surgery. And we're just sitting there. We had our worship music playing still. And mum all of a sudden was like, what is wrong with you two? And, like, that's when I sort of took note. I looked at VTech and I went, looks okay. I feel okay. I feel good. And then I looked at Mum and the way she was sitting there, so stiff and rigid and so full of anxiety and stress. Mm. I was like, oh my gosh, this is that supernatural peace that everybody talks about. Yeah. This is it. We're in it.
Right there. That's amazing. That's amazing. And that's just where you need it too, isn't it?
It was. It was. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then three surgeries. So, I mean, this was like part one of three and it was quite a process. But you're healing well. You're looking good. Yeah. So how are you going now at this point?
Yeah, great. Yeah,
running marathons.
Not quite.
Not quite. Not quite. I just want to finish with a scripture which I know was very close to you. In fact, you had it, got it up on the screen. You had it in a frame next to your bed, and it's from Isaiah. And you said, as well as the prayers of the church, this is really what got you through. It says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That is your God. What have you learned through this process? What has God shown him of yourself through the last few months?
That he is my healer, he is a miracle working God, and that he was in every single little detail. And the victory, everything, it was already done. I just had to have the faith and the belief to sit through it.
Yeah, and how about you, Vitek?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I couldn't have said it any better. You know, the whole experience was already written for us, and the waiting and everything else was all a part of it. And our testimony to come out of it at the end and to, you know, to have the experience impact so many other people. Like, there was a lot of people that this peace and this, you know, this prayer that actually overflowed into other people. Mm.
Aren't you glad you decided to come and join this church family? Because, in fact, they've only been coming to this church about 4 or 5 years. In fact, I met you when I was part of your baptism back in 2017, and so had no idea of all these health struggles. And I think this is the thing. We have no idea what people are going through and what's in their lives. And, you know, we have no idea what's going through your life tonight. But it's so good to hear your testimony of God's goodness, his faith, his supernatural peace. And you don't need to have another surgery soon, do you? Hallelujah. That is great. Thank you for sharing some of your story with us tonight.
Thank you.
Why don't we thank Alicia and VTech? Aren't these wonderful people? Dan and Beauty, we love you guys.
What I love about these two stories is that both of them have been a journey. And we've known these guys through a lot of this journey, yet there's always a joy and a hope and a life and a selflessness and a tenacity that's always been. And sometimes you're unaware or you forget what these guys are walking through. And that's a credit to them because they carry themselves with the victory that's found in Jesus Christ. You see, we look at the first man we talked about at the Pool of Bethesda, and he is a man that gets his victory in the end. He gets healed in the end because, you know what? Even if he doesn't carry himself well, Jesus is still faithful, amen? But this guy finds himself moaning, complaining, and a victim. But what I love about the next person I want to talk about for a second, Paul, and what I love about these four is we find Paul praising, boasting, and overcoming while he's in the middle of his storm. You see, Paul is also stuck. In fact, while the man at the Pool of Bethesda had it tough, let me read to you what Paul says. It says, what everyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. I have worked much harder and been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger of rivers, in danger of bandits, in danger from Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I've known hunger. Oh my gosh, Paul. I've been hunger and thirst and gone without food. I've been cold and I've been naked. Beside everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led by sin and I do not inwardly burn? And goes on to say something about the thorn if we keep on going. And was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Paul knows what it's like to not be in victory, yet to constantly live in victory. We see Paul in the book of Philippians in house arrest, literally about to face death. And yet in four small chapters, he writes about the joy of the Lord 16 times. As we see, he talks about everything that he goes through. He makes this choice. Unlike the man at the pool of Bethesda that's complaining and whinging and pushing and pointing to everyone else, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. He goes on to say, I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except my weakness. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness and my insults and my hardship and my persecution in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. I tell you why Paul was able to boast in his problem, why Paul was able to boast in his beating, why Paul was able to boast in his difficulty, because he refused to look at anyone and anywhere for too long except Jesus Christ. Paul had a confidence not in his circumstances, not in his finances, and not in his health. It wasn't in how his kids were doing, or in how his marriage was doing, or in how his health was doing. Paul found confidence in one place alone. He found it in Jesus. So he could boast all the more in everything he was going through, because his confidence is found in Jesus. See, what I love about these guys is the confidence is not in the surgeon. And the confidence is not in the employer. And the confidence is not in the parents. And the confidence is not in the house deposit. The confidence is found in Jesus. And the one who gave it before can do it again. And the one that healed before can do it again. So you might be here today, and you might be going, well, literally none of the things that happened to Paul happened to me. But I reckon all of these are symbolic of something. Let me just quickly show you. Because the only way that Paul can boast in his difficulty is because he knows that Jesus is the author and the finisher. The only way Paul can boast is because he knows that Jesus is his victory. The only way Paul can boast is because his view is not on the problem. His perspective is found on the one that is the answer. So Paul goes through his list. And the first one is prison, which I think represents addiction. But he knows this, that the Bible says that we would no longer be slaves to sin. If you're here and you're struggling with addiction, you can celebrate and be filled with joy today and boast in Jesus, not because you're through it, but because he promises you will not be a slave to sin. He goes on to say you've been flogged. If you're here today and you're bruised and sensitive from the past season, and you know you're walking with a limp, but God promises that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's coming to us soon. He talks about death itself. I mean, if like Elisha, you could potentially be at the edge of death, you can go facing that with peace, because he says, I go to prepare a place for you. That even though he's your healer, if at the end of this you go to be with him, there will be no more tears and no more suffering and no more pain, because he is a God that has good for you. He goes on to say 40 lashes. I mean, if you're here and you're sick in body, you can boast today, because by his stripes you are healed. He says he's been pelted with stones. There's a saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Can I tell you? That's garbage. Names do hurt you. But the Bible says, say all sorts of evil things against me because you are my followers. But be happy about it. Be glad about it, because in heaven is a great reward for you. He goes on to talk about being shipwrecked. You might be here today and it feels like you're up the creek, that there is no hope for you, that you've got nothing to cling on to. But he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that's found in Christ Jesus. He talks about being in open sea. You might be here and you're lonely and depressed today, but there is a God that will never leave you or forsake you. He talks about rivers. I mean, life goes up and down and seasons change, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. He talks about bandits. You might might be here and financially you're struggling, but my God will supply all of your needs. He talks about being on the move. You might be weary and tired from a busy life, but he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. He talks about his fellow Jews. This is talking about people that stabbed him in the back, but it says don't repay evil with repay evil with a blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. There is a blessing even if everyone else curses you. He talks about his enemies, but he prepared a table in the midst of my enemies. He talks about the city, which represents your job, but it says whatever you do, do heartily, because the Lord, like you're doing it for the Lord. He talks about the country, which represents your rest, if you haven't had rest in a while. He promises that he'll make you lie down in green pastures. He'll lead you beside still waters, and he'll restore your soul. For the third time, he represents the sea. This talks about anxiety and worry. Paul talks about the sea three times because he's been shipwrecked so many flipping times. It's unbelievable. But if today you've got worry and anxiety, it says, then let the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It talks about false believers if no one gets you. It talks about sleep if you're tired and exhausted. It talks about hunger and thirst if you're spiritually dry. He talks about cold and naked if you've been exposed. He talks about a thorn in the flesh, which talks about your sin. Either way, God has an answer for your life. Paul was able to be right at the edge of a breakthrough, but not in the breakthrough yet. Yet he postured himself differently because his confidence wasn't in the miracle. His confidence was in Jesus. His confidence wasn't in his healing. His confidence was in Jesus. His confidence wasn't in finance. His confidence was in Jesus. His confidence wasn't in others. His confidence was in Jesus. His confidence wasn't in the season. His confidence was in Jesus. And he says, if I had it all, if I had all the healing and all the breakthrough and all the answers and all the favor and all the rest, I count it all as loss compared to knowing Jesus. We see one man, it's hot up here. We see one man that's on the edge of a breakthrough and Jesus is standing right next to him and he cannot even see his healer. We see a person that goes through all of that. Today, I doubt anyone goes through all of that, but I know you go through some of that. But it's not the grumble that we let our mouth speak about, but instead contentment, peace, and joy. The man looks at his situation and he has nothing to brag about because all he can see is the lack of a miracle, the people that won't help him, the season him in, and the time he's been through. But Paul can literally go through hell itself, but all he can see is Jesus. You need to know today you are more than your health. You are more than how your family's going. You are more than your job. You are more than the number of followers you have. You are more than your relationship status. You are a friend of Jesus. You are a child of God, and you are an heir with Christ. And the difference between the man at the well, Dan and Beauty, Leisha and VTech, and Paul, is that their eyes are on Jesus, not on their circumstances. What is to be an overcomer? To be an overcomer is to persevere, to be a victor, to live in victory, to prevail in spite of adversity. When you know who Jesus is, you can do what Paul did, where he said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Because when God is finished with you, despite whatever happens to you, you will know what it is to have the victory and the peace and the hope of Jesus despite what you walk through. I'm not here to tell you five tips to get through it. I'm not here to tell you five prayers you can pray to see your family situation change. I believe that he can heal you in a moment, but I don't also understand why sometimes it takes a while sometimes. I would love to see the windows of heaven open in this moment, but what I do know is they are open. And I would love to give you comfort, but all I need to do right now is point to the one that is your comforter. And I don't know how long it's going to take you to get through this. And I don't know whether it's in the moment or it's after a while.
fail. But this is what I do know, is that Jesus is faithful, and Jesus is your friend, and Jesus is your ever-present help in a time of need, and Jesus is your victory. And while circumstances change and time goes for a while, this I know, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I fix my mind and my eyes and my heart and my spirit on the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And while everyone else is stiff and worried, you can be laughing and rejoicing and worshiping in the most stark, white, bright room, knowing that God will come through for you because He is your victor. Today you can find victory in Jesus Christ, not in the healing, not in the provision, not in the job. It's found in Jesus, who is all of those things and more.
Hello, thank you so much for watching this video today. I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I'll tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about Him, He loved you. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed His love. So He sent His Son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, He said, "I will take their place." So He died and rose again so that His death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and His life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did and when you invite Him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose, and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good, and loves you. He's a father, He's a friend, and you can invite Him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe He's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank You for loving me and giving Your life for me. I pray You forgive me for my past and You walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know Your grace, Your forgiveness, Your peace, Your purpose, Your joy, and Your hope into my life. I ask You to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the Word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.